Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
Be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Of Online World of Wrestling Radio, 877-588-9877. Option 1 is the way to join us here on the show. You can also Skype Sir Rockin' if you're a part of the Skype network. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com is our email address. I am Alan Wojcik, brought to you this week by two gentlemen who had way too much fun on Sunday night WrestleTalk Radio, where they discussed the very interesting Hell in the Cell pay-per-view. They are also a part of this network's Wednesday night Utaku Talk live event. The Spud Guy and Mace, who is joining us this week. How was the event in Australia with the Tim Burton stuff? I never heard about it.
Not too bad. Sort of felt a slightly bit ripped off by the end of it, but not bad for me. Shouldn't have taken my 7-year-old little brother with me. Most of that stuff just went right over the top of his head.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, but he liked some bits and pieces. They had some fluoro black light paintings and stuff that he loved to go and have a look at a few times. So he was entertained. It was good.
Yeah, now I heard after this Sunday night show, the Spud Guy had way too much fun laughing at certain events that took place that we'll talk about here. And he's still going. Thanks for joining us. And
cry for me. Cry for me, you little bastards. Cry.
Oh yeah.
Tears.
Yeah. For fans that aren't aware of it, that didn't watch Monday Night Raw last night or watch the pay-per-view, a favorite of the show, Mr. Marky Mark himself, Mr. Superman, Mr. Everything, Fred's dad, if you watch Fred the Movie. On Nickelodeon.
I did watch it. I have a child.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen it. But, dude, as good as the pay-per-view was, last night was even better. Oh, it was even better. Do you understand how long I've waited to laugh at these people?
What he's referring to is a YouTube video that Rock can post in the Wild Talk Radio chat room. Where, yeah, that's right, Cena lost, oh my god, Cena lost. Made the headlines of every 11 o'clock news channel around the world because it never really ever happens. So, yeah, Cena lost thanks to, as we found out on Monday Night Raw, to the help of NXT Season 2's Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy interfering in the match. Because as we all know, the Nexus wasn't allowed to interfere. You know, they made their little march down the rampway. It's almost like you want that March of the Wooden Soldiers music or the monkeys from The Wizard of Oz, you know, the old ho-wee-o thing. And, it was a definitely interesting version of the pay-per-view, and we're going to get a different perspective also because joining us this week is a Online World of Wrestling radio contributor, and he's also a columnist for the Miami Herald. He's joined us before. Funny enough, he was in Miami the night that the Nexus was born, and now he gets to join us on the night that John Cena joined the Nexus. Good evening, Jim Barcelone.
Yes, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing good. Spug and Mace are still laughing because they had fun on Wrestle Talk Radio's post-show event where apparently after the match with the Nexus, apparently there were children crying and actually being escorted out of the building. Your thoughts, as mentioned, you were in Miami the night that the Nexus was born. Your overall impressions of, from what you saw last night also on Raw, of John Cena in the Nexus night one?
It was good. They needed something different, something interesting, and you saw the reaction of the crowd at the pay-per-view. A lot of the kids all upset. So it gives something different. It gives them something to build on. I think it was would have been interesting for me if the Nexus would have took more of a, hey, let's help John Cena to win him over, even though he's in there. That, to me, would have been a little different than usual because it felt like everyone knew that, obviously, he was going to have to help Wade Barrett, and Wade Barrett was going to be the winner of the Battle Royal. So in that regard, there was nothing surprising to me. I think what would have been surprising to me is if the Nexus would have, you know, they seemed like even when Otunga went to him and said, hey, if you need someone to talk to, hey, this will be good for you. I think it would have been playing more on that. And then I think if Wade Barrett and Cena were in the ring together at the end, and then Wade Barrett would have stepped over the ring ropes and just walked to the back, it would have left everybody in surprise, like, what's going on here? Wait, why did they do that? More or less them trying to say, hey, this is going to be good for you. Stay with us. But to me, it was then last night after Sunday night's, I thought was really good. And then last night, just the ending of it, I liked the whole thing, the build-up, but I just thought it was very predictable with the way it ended.
Well, Sorokin and I, after we had a marathon interview with Homicide last week, we ran down this card pretty briefly, and one of the things that I mentioned, a lot of friends during the week and over the weekend when I was at some events, said that from a creative standpoint, and then Spug and Mace can jump in with their opinions on this, there's more juice to keeping the Nexus around with Cena as opposed to ho-hum, Cena beat the Nexus, now you got to find five different things for these guys to do. The Mason Spug, were either of you thinking that when you went into watching this match, or what were your opinions?
I think they should keep the Nexus around, and I said it a while ago that if you're going to do anything with Cena in the Nexus, it needs to be a slow progression of just mental abuse and turn him heel again and turn him against everything that he loves as far as, you know, being the fan favorite and everything, because you need to see that side of Cena. He's been such the Superman in mid-80s Hulk Hogan for so long that even Hulk Hogan had to go to be a bad guy for a while, and it's skyrocketed his popularity too.
Yeah, but when Hulk Hogan went to be a bad guy, he was already on the downswing. Cena's still on the upswing. I mean, still their big moneymaker, and he had to be the bad guy in WCW, not into WWF or WWE. I think, though, you're right. It would be good at some point for Cena to make the turn because he's so popular, but right now I don't know, because who's going to draw the money that he's going to draw? Who are you going to get to replace him in that top money-making role? I think that's why he's waited so long. Because I think they waited so long because they don't have anyone to replace him in that big money-maker role.
Everybody's injured or retired.
Randy Orton's up there. The Miz is up there as far as a heel. Daniel Bryan is up there as far as...
Yeah, but they don't make... All three of them don't make as much money as Cena does. You see how those kids go crazy.
Sure.
Yes.
And that's the big...
I'm not saying they're the merchandise makers that Cena is, but on level of popularity, they can get up there. And also, I will throw this out there as a caveat. What skyrocketed The Rock into superstardom? It was his heel turn when he got to go out and address the fans with a Die Rocky Die chant and the signs. The moment that he cut that promo, he went from here to up here.
But you also, you had other people along with The Rock that were already on top. Rock was coming from another angle and went on top, you know, another level. And then, right, catapulted himself by doing that and the bad attitude and all this. But you had other guys there. All I'm saying is, who do you have to take Cena's good guy, kids love him, bio? See, you got to remember, it's not just about the booing and cheering. It's about who's going to sell the shirts, who's going to buy the pay-per-views, spend the pay-per-view money, the dollars. It's all about making the money. The bottom line is, who's going to make the money? Hulk Hogan, why was he on top? Oh, because, you know, he just look at the way he looked. No, it was because he drew money. Why is Ric Flair always on top? Because he drew money. I mean, that was always the big thing. Who's going to take Cena's happy baby face, the kids love him, money-making spot? I mean, I agree with some of what you're saying, but all I mean is, if you're going to do that to Cena, and I think it can be done, and I think it will be done, but I think the only question why it's lasted this long is because I don't have anybody to take his spot. Now, if Jeff Hardy was still around and they wanted to move him to Raw, Rey Mysterio's on somewhat of that level because the kids all love him and he's a big moneymaker. But you need somebody. I like Randy Orton. Randy Orton, like you mentioned, Randy Orton, maybe he can be the guy, even though he's not a good guy. He's more of that attitude, Stone Cold Rock type of good guy. If you getting to that level, maybe he could be the one to do it. I don't know who else though, and that's the only problem when you do turn Cena to the bad guy. Who's going to be that number one happy good guy? So
I will say this: if it's one thing that any of us can agree upon from watching wrestling as long as we have, and watching the WWF/WWE as long as we have, is Vince knows how to make stars.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
So he will be, even if you turn Cena to be that bad guy, he can put the marketing machine behind someone else to fill that good guy role, and the children will buy into it.
Well, you kind of have that already. Let me interrupt for a second. You kind of have it on SmackDown as well. You've got Kofi Kingston, who the kids go crazy for. You've got, as Jim and you both said, you've got a Rey Mysterio on Raw. You've got an Evan Bourne, even though he's a mid-card guy. He's still got a look. My question to Mace is, with this turn, here's the next couple pay-per-views that are going to be up. Bragging Rights is October 24th, Target Center, Minneapolis. Survivor Series, yeah, amazingly enough, Survivor Series is back in Jim's neck of the woods, American Airlines Arena, on November 21st. Then you have TLC taking place of Armageddon, December 19th, Houston, Texas. The Rumble is this year in Boston, the 30th. Pick a pay-per-view out of that, Mace. By which one is Cena in full heel turn, possibly on the road to what we've talked about here for a little bit, a possible unification match, possibly get him the WWE belt to unify with, I don't know, The Undertaker and send Taker off on his bad, send him off. Pick a pay-per-view. Which one is Cena a full-out heel by if we go with this full heel turn?
If I was booking, I'd probably be starting the build at Survivor Series leading into Royal Rumble. That way you can build up the full John Cena heel leading into WrestleMania. But I just want to mention something just quickly, what Jim was saying about selling merchandise and everything. Cena's going to keep selling merchandise whether he's a heel or a face. There's that much Cena merchandise out there that they've got no choice but to buy it. But at the same time, there's always going to be somebody who's going to buy the shirts, buy the armbands. It might even increase now that he's a heel, because
if he turns on the kids, they're not going to buy his merchandise anymore. They're going to buy whoever their favorite is. Now, it's not like we're adults and we like that Attitude Era and we like that Stone Cold Rock DX type of thing. We like to cheer the bad guy. No. These are kids who love their hero, who is John Cena. You turn him, and again, I say good, turn him, because it's about time. We got to get him turned at some point. Those kids are not going to want to buy his shirts or his merchandise anymore.
There's
they're
always
going to
be one small contingent that's always going to buy it. And that's what they're betting on with the heel turn.
They got to make a new star. They got to make a new star. What he said about Vince doing a good job making new stars is exactly right. So what they're going to have to do is make a new star out of it and all. And then you know what will happen. The older people that don't like the regular establishment like we used to have back with DX Attitude Era and they're into Nexus, yeah, sure, they'll buy it. They'll buy it because that's what they like. They're the ones booing Cena now. You know, maybe they're going to be the ones that are going to buy it. So
we're with them in the booing of the Cena. I'll admit, I sometimes enjoy watching him perform in the ring, but Omega on WrestleTalk Radio had a great problem. He was here. He's here in spirit as always. The Superman thing has gotten tired, and there's got to be a transition. And as you mentioned, we've got Randy Orton already in the wings with the WWE title, taking out Sheamus, which was very interested in Hell in a Cell match. And we'll go around the table in a second, because it's weird to watch the 20th and 21st matches as was outlined and not see one drop of blood spilled in either cage match. And it was kind of fitting. And we'll go to Jim first, that 1997 at Bad Blood, which was around this time in 97 that we all tuned in and found out the passing of Brian Pillman, but saw the birth of Kane, led to the ring by Paul Bearer, and what better way to end the pay-per-view this year with that match, with Kane defeating The Undertaker, and basically doing the same finish. It almost felt like, guys, the kayfabe era is kind of dead. The whole hokey pocus and moo lightning craziness. It was like, I'm 36 years old and I'm sitting there going, so what are the Giants doing on TV? Instead of going match for match, comment on that and your overall favorite and least favorite from the pay-per-view.
Well, I just thought that when you watch something long enough and you've seen it over and over again, you're going to get tired of it. I don't care what it is. That's why TV shows don't last long on TV. You can't keep them going like they do with this. That was all marketed for the kids. It's a whole PG thing that they went to PG. It's all for the kids. Why? Why are they marketing the kids? Does anyone know why? Because it's all fresh to them. It's all new to them. They can go back and do all this stuff that they did 10, 15, 20 years ago, and it's all fresh to the kids. So, of course, we're going to sit there and be like, what the heck's going on here? But that's why they're doing it. I like the three-way match. Thought that was good to open the show. Kind of surprised, though, they went with Sheamus and Orton second, but at least they split them up, the big matches and all, so you can catch your breath with everything and all. That would be it for me. I think triple threat match, I really like that a lot.
Smug, favorite and least favorite of the night?
My favorite match was probably the Danielson match, because we got to see the cattle mutilation.
Yeah, and then listening to Lawler and Cole go, who? I was like, that's right, I forgot. Indy suck, according to you guys.
Actually, Lawler wasn't bagging on it. It was Cole, to be honest. Lawler's actually shown Danielson quite a bit of respect, so, because Lawler knows how hard it is, but that's beside the point. Least favorite match of the night. I would have to say my least favorite match of the night was probably Undertaker Kane. I mean, those two, yeah, they're legends. But dude, when the slow mo goes faster than you guys are going in the ring, it's time to hang it up.
Oh, and we'll talk about two people that are going to be doing that in the next hour when we get into TNA's Bound for Glory weekend, which is starting this Thursday. To Mace, favorite and least favorite of the night?
I'm pretty much echo Spug's sentiment. You know, the triple threat at the start of the night, brilliant match, great way to get the crowd hot. Least favorite was Kane and Undertaker, I believe Omega said on Wrestle Talk Radio. You know, these, we were expecting a bloodbath and we got pillow fighting.
Well, yeah,
we expected big things, and these guys seriously let us down.
Yeah, well, for Jim,
well, part of that is management let us, right? Can we agree on that?
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
if they told those guys to bleed, they would have bled. I mean, I don't think it was one of those where, hey guys, we don't want to bleed. So, you know, yeah, we're gonna have a Hell in a Cell Taker's match. We're gonna have Hell in a Cell with Kane. Paul Bearer comes back and, you know what, Vince? Creative, we don't want to bleed. Yeah, it was more, I blame more, although they were slow in the ring. I have to say that. That was a good point, though, because they did look slow, unfortunately. But I don't blame them for the blood, the gory stuff of it all. And I'm sure if they would have told them, hey, come on, guys, we need to step it up and get a real Hell in the Cell match, they would have delivered.
Oh, well, yeah,
as we get closer to Election Day, the other reason we're on Jim on is also because he works for a mainstream newspaper, the Miami Herald. And they're covering tons and tons of political races as we get closer and closer to Election Day. I believe it's October 30th, somewhere, I think in Stanford or somewhere in Connecticut, they're doing a WWE fan appreciation type thing.
Yeah, right, Hartford. Aren't they doing that in Hartford?
It is in Hartford. Okay, so let's say here that Morgan Blumenthal, I think is the gentleman's name that Ms. McMahon is running against. Linda loses. Is it PG all the time, or are we getting to Elimination Chamber in February and going, all right, boys, everybody got a blade, cool, let's cut some meat.
Are you trying to get the people in Connecticut not to vote for her that want to see the blood?
I'm kind of in the middle. It's weird to watch a cage match and see these guys hitting that cyclone fencing, and not one ounce of blood comes out. Yet my 10-year-old my wife's got younger brothers and sisters. My 10-year-old brother-in-law falls off the fence at his house, the same type of fencing, and scrapes his arm up and bleeds like crazy. So you're telling
me, we should have been watching that on the pay-per-view then.
Yeah, Frankie Balog bleeding, film at 11. Well, to backtrack a second here, because as mentioned, I don't know if I mentioned it, we're not going to be having an actual guest tonight due to the enormity of this past WWE weekend and the craziness that will start this Thursday for TNA Wrestling. To backtrack a second to the sci-fi debut of Friday Night SmackDown, the show did a 1.7 rating, which they're claiming is the highest rating in that spot on sci-fi. Okay, cool.
It's sci-fi. Remember, it's sci-fi.
Exactly, where you'll be seeing a B-movie with Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, and Mickey Dolenz, I believe, in the near future. And Sorokin wanted us to point out Monday Night Raw did a 3.31 last night against the Monday Night Football game, which was in your neck of the woods.
Oh, what a horrible second half.
We feel for your Dolphins. As a Jet fan at 3-1, I don't feel so bad for your Dolphins. to Mace Spug, and then we'll go to Jim with it, overall impressions and feel of Friday Night SmackDown being on sci-fi, do you think in the few weeks as we get to the new year that this is going to hurt them, being that everything WWE is all cable now, or is this a good thing? It's all under the NBC Universal umbrella.
Personally, I wouldn't have a clue, because if you remember, Alan, I'm an Australian.
I'm aware of that.
We have all our WWE coverage under one channel. The only difference the move to sci-fi made was, instead of being shown on Friday down here, it was shown on Sunday, and because I was playing World of Warcraft at the time, I missed it. So, unless that's going to be the new way it's going to happen, then I can't really comment either way.
All right, you're here in America with us, Bug. Feelings on NBC Universal having full WWE control. I mean, it's obvious the Saturday Night Main Event experiment didn't go so great. The WrestleMania Rewind show they did a few months ago didn't go so great. So it looks like we're cable-bound from here on out. Do you think being this way hurts them, or should they have kept SmackDown, found a home for it, maybe either on NBC itself or Fox or gone somewhere else?
Oh, I think it works just fine on NBC and on cable. I think the majority of homes now that are watching your product have cable television, so it's really not that big of an issue. Also, Jim, you're from Miami. I hope your Heat go 0-82.
Yeah. This is the gentleman representing the folks of Cleveland.
Oh, I got it. Oh well. Look, what can you do? If the shoe was on the other foot, I'm sure you wouldn't have been disappointed getting Dwayne Wade.
I don't like Dwayne Wade, and I don't like basketball.
Oh, you wouldn't want Dwayne Wade on your team with LeBron. If LeBron stayed, you wouldn't want Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on your team.
Nope.
No. All right. Good for you.
Nope.
That's great. I'd love them. I'm glad they're all here.
Good. I hope you win multiple rings, and I hope they do you like they all did Cleveland.
Hey, they all do. You know what? Athletes, they do that to everybody. Come on.
I know.
It's the 2000s. This is a 1950. Come on. You know, that's the thing about fans. Fans get too wrapped up into the team. These athletes go for the money. You could name them all. Doesn't matter nowadays. I mean, I feel for you. I'm sorry for what happened, but come on. These are athletes that are out to make money. That's their business, their job. It's just like someone said to you, hey, you know what? We're going to give you $100,000 to do your job. No. I'm going to take $50,000. That's okay. You don't have to give me $100,000. You know, and I'll stay here for $50,000. It's the way it is nowadays, man. It's all about that. It's all these athletes. It's all business.
All right, everybody.
$100,000 to mow lawns, I'd be down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Everybody bow to a corner. We're going to take a break. In case you didn't figure it out when we opened the show, the music for the evening, it is a Sting and the Police night. We'll have some regular Police music. We'll have some of Sting's solo career, not the Wrestler, in case you wondered. And if you ever wondered who owns the copyright to Sting the Wrestler, it's Sting the Musician. Because he is the one that Sting the Musician is owned by Sting the Wrestler. That's right. Steve Borden gets royalties from Gordon Sumner, the musician. Taking us out with one of the greatest grapes of the Police, Message in a Bottle, Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be talking about why the heck Mick Foley's getting talked about on WWE TV and the trade of Edge to SmackDown. We'll be back after this break.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage, Bart
Berry, Candice McDowell,
Christy Hemme,
Jay Lethal,
Yesterday,
Bret the Hitman Hart,
the Sergeant Slaughter,
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man,
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time,
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wonderman,
and tomorrow,
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart,
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you live in the Philadelphia, Washington, Cross, New Jersey area and are in need of a licensed massage therapist? Then you need Johnny Cashmere. He specializes in a full body relaxation experience in 30, 50, and 90 minute sessions. Deep tissue and pressure point treatment are also available. His office hours are 9 to 5 p.m., Monday to Friday. To make an appointment, email backseatjk@aim.com. Johnny also offers one-on-one yoga and meditation sessions. What are you waiting for? Set up your appointment to relaxation now.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network and Underground Radio, whose sponsors are 877, number 877-588-9877, option 1. You can also Skype Sir Rockin' if you're a part of that network. Also, clickwrestle.com is where you can find all our podcasts, along with the iTunes Store. Thanks for joining us all here, and thanks to Rock for playing one of my good friends, Scott Hudson's little bumper there, because a year ago this past weekend, this past Sunday, Scott was here in Florida to be a member of my wedding party, and I thank him for being in my wedding, a year of marrying my wife, Misty. We've been a couple for 3 years, so it was like, yay, okay, so now we have jewelry to go with it.
Everybody's selling wedding anniversaries. Man, mine was last weekend, too. It was 6 years.
And we're proud of you. We appreciate the Spug for being here. Mace also here, and Jim Barcelona of the Miami Herald. And as we all found out, including folks in the chat room, found out that the Raw GM is still going to be anonymous probably till the day we all die, because creative is still sitting there going, can we put this guy in? No, bad idea. What about this guy? No. What about Vince? No, Vince too old. Vince can't do TV. We found out that our favorite rated R superstar is no longer a part of Raw, thanks to the GM who traded him to Friday Night SmackDown. Now, the word around the campfire is the person that is going to be coming to Monday Night Raw is yeah, you got it right. The Straight Edge Society superstar CM Punk. Now, apparently, Punk has taken Edge's place on this weekend's Raw live events, and although the decision could be changed at any time, it looks like CM Punk will be rejoining Monday Night Raw in the coming days and weeks. Anybody got a problem with this flip-flop of characters?
What's going to happen with Luke Gallows, then? Is he going to go and end up wrestling on Superstars now that he can't hang off CM Punk?
Yeah, well, you got Joey Matthews hurt. Serena's working for whoever. She'll be a part of WSU's live event on November 6th. And, yeah, maybe he'll become Festus again and resurrect that character. And to Jim, interesting creative move, or you could only take the Raw GM and Edge so much before you needed to do something else?
Yeah, that was just, I mean, Edge fighting a computer. Although I have to admit, some matches, that probably was a little better than what they've had on the match side. Some of the other battles, but yeah, I'm glad that part of it's over, and I think this is good for Edge because now he won't get lost in the shuffle, so to speak, if that's even possible for him. Go to SmackDown and he'll be on top of the lineup there, the roster. I wouldn't be surprised if Edge went to them and said, look, I want to go back to SmackDown. I don't want to be here with Cena, with Orton, with Sheamus, with Nexus, all these guys. I gotta try to find a spot on top with all these guys now that you guys are pushing, and Orton even. I mean, if I forget Orton. So, I mean, they're good for Edge, not good for CM Punk, because now he's going to be coming over to the show, and where the heck is he going to fit? I mean, he's good talent. I like CM Punk a lot. I like what he does, but he's going to be mid-card. He's going to be mid-card, and unless they have him tied up in the Nexus angle, I don't know. What are they going to do with him? Is he going to go against Sheamus? I mean, that's heel against heel once they turn him? I don't know. I feel good for Edge, bad for Punk.
It looks like we do have not really a caller. It's someone who happens to be sitting on Spug's lap. Spug's Child would like to join the show. Hello, little Spug's Child. Welcome. What did you want to say to
Jim
Marcellone?
Hi.
All right, say, hey, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Nice special teams play by the Dolphins last night.
Oh, hey, we're not going to go. We'll leave the football talk for later on.
Yeah, man. I know, I was going to say, but that's all right because, you know what? Ever since they got rid of Mike Westhoff, if anybody that knows football, that was it for the special teams, and it just came out last night. So,
all right,
what are you going to do?
Say, go Cavs, boo Heat.
Go Cavs, boo Heat.
Good night.
Oh, man, he's got her he's got her doing all this stuff. You need to say the following phrase, and the home of the Jets, because I'm very happy to be tied for first place. And
at least it'll be nice. You know what? At least I could, if I'm in Cleveland, at least now it'll be easy to get a ticket. I'll be able to
sit somewhere. Of course. Now,
we're actually sold out for the year.
I don't know that many season ticket holders who would have coughed them up. Now, we talk all other products on here as well, and we were, some folks were vocal in our, Radio and Online World of Wrestling mailbox a few weeks ago about Tyler Black leaving Ring of Honor. And unlike a lot of people, Jim and I living in Florida, we get access to Championship Wrestling from Florida or FCW, the WWE Developmental Group, and
oh,
for fans
of
running.
It doesn't get down to South Florida. I know in Central Florida you get it, but not down here.
Damn bastards. Bright House Networks needs to get on the ball and get you some South Florida wrestling.
Yeah, Bright House is up in the Central Florida area, but they haven't the cable system down here hasn't picked up Bright House, so
Well, this will be news for you, too. If you've been wondering, kids, when Tyler Black was going to make his debut, he did it this past Thursday night at a taping. He lost to Michael McGillicuddy. I believe he lost. My friends Jason and Kat were at the event, and they heard three different names. The one they think they're rolling with is Seth Rollins, is possibly Tyler Black's new name.
So he'll be coming soon to a house show near you if you live here in Florida, fcwwrestling.com. If you don't, find some friends. I'm sure they can send you a copy of a tape. Now, for fans that this kind of has TNA implications, but surprisingly a lot of WWE ones. And we didn't get to bring it up last week because we kind of glazed over a lot of WWE and TNA stuff because we had Homicide on. That this past Friday, former WWE superstar and current TNA star Mick Foley's book, Countdown to Lockdown, was released in bookstores and in the digital format. Now, this is his fourth book, and in a very rare, extremely awkward case, Mick Foley's book was mentioned on Monday Night Raw. Now, that wasn't enough, guys. Joey Styles conducted an interview with Mick on WWE.com with the hardcore legend to discuss the book, conflicts with WWE, announcing a much, much more. Mick is quoted as saying, this is part of the interview. This was asked by Styles. A professional conflict with Vince McMahon is the reason you're no longer with WWE, and who is it that offered you the opportunity to promote Countdown and Lockdown on WWE.com? Foley's answer is, from what I understand, it was Vince McMahon's decision to promote the book on Raw, and it was his decision to offer me the opportunity to talk here. It is literally among the craziest things I've ever heard of, laugh out loud. I think it's unprecedented. He added, mentioning that it shows the kind of respect Vince has for him. You can go to WWE.com and check that out. First to Mace, and then we'll go around the table. Overall reaction to basically WWE saying, hey, Mick Foley, we love you, and check out Bound for Glory this weekend.
Yeah, very interesting. Makes you wonder why. I'm sure a lot of people out there will be going, what's Vince's ulterior motive? Is he trying to lure Mick Foley back to make him disappear, or is it literally just a genuine showing of respect for the guy? But yeah, I'm sort of leaning towards genuine respect because that's Mick Foley. Everybody loves that teddy bear, son of a bitch.
All right, Spug, your thoughts on WWE giving Mick Foley tons of free publicity?
I don't know whether it's respect or maybe a kind of a way to lure him back, because he's not with TNA anymore, if I remember right.
Yeah, he is. He's involved in this weekend's Bound for Glory event.
Is he? I thought
we'll
he
get
left
to that.
Me.
You don't I watch TNA, left. So we'll school you in a few minutes on it.
I don't watch it very often. I do watch it from time to time, but I don't watch it very often. But I don't know. I guess maybe it's because of what he's done for that company and how long he had been there, that maybe it's just a sign of respect. And we all know that WWE fans will buy the book. And if they're selling it through WWEshops.com, which they might be, I don't know, that's more money for them.
So, Jim, your overall thoughts on this idea of basically helping out the enemy? It's very unprecedented. It's not like WWE would have said to if WCW would put out a Hulk Hogan book, do you think they would publish it? Almost like it would, they publish it and publicize it the way, on Monday Night Raw, the way that they've done Mick Foley's book?
Right, that's unheard of. The thing is, I'm wondering if there's got to be something more to this. I know on the website, and I don't know if they'd stop doing this, WWE's website, they were announcing news and notes from TNA, from Japan, from all these other places, trying to make the website more appealing to every type of wrestling fan that was out there. I remember they were doing that, and there was a lot talked about it, because some in the corporation didn't want to do it, and others were like, yeah, the information's out there anyway, why not do it? Get more people to come to the website. So I think maybe that had something to do with it. I also think Hall of Fame, Mick Foley, do you want to be inducted this year? That's a big name. We're running out of big names here for the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. It's a nice draw. Maybe she'll make a little respect here. Maybe we'll be able to induct him this year. Just trying to keep their ties together with Mick. There's got to be something more to it than just, hey, yeah, we respect Mick and let's do this for him, because they don't do that. You don't do that. If they're not publishing the book, if he's working for a company that's on another station, another TV network, cable network, you just don't do that. So I kind of feel it's somewhere down the line, it's all related to our website hits and Hall of Fame induction ceremony. You know, hey, we did this for Mick. Hey, you know what? That was nice of Vince and them to do that for me. Hey, Mick, you know, we'd like to induct you into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll do it. So, you know, try to smooth things over. That's my thought on the whole thing. That was very weird, though.
Well, Sir Rockin', our producer, mentioned this to us through our private production chat that Eric Bischoff in recent interviews this past weekend said that he believed that both Mick and Vince have a deal with the books. I believe, I can't even remember who publishes them, if it's Little Brown or Random House or one of those groups. Who knows? There's been stories that we'll get into it in the next hour, with Sting possibly leaving again and possibly being at WrestleMania weekend in Atlanta along with the WCW, yeah, that contingent, depending on what you want to call them, the Crockett's, WCW, Mid-Atlantic, George Harris Wrestling, you could see all that kind of stuff going on. Speaking of Hall of Famers, some friends over in England sent this little bit over. In an interview with the British tabloid The Sun, WWE superstar, Hall of Famer, and frequent member of Chuck on NBC Monday nights, teased returning to the ring for one more match after revealing that his neck is quote-unquote feeling better than ever. I'm lucky, you know, my neck is 100% these days. I can do my own stunts and fight scenes where I can. I don't claim to be a tough guy, but I give it a go. Austin admits that he still watches WWE and TNA because he still has the passion for the sport. Quote, I never thought I'd say it, but when I'm asked about one more match these days, I tend to say never, so don't rule it out. Now, remember, his last official match in World Wrestling Entertainment was WrestleMania 19, where he faced and lost to Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, to Jim, and then we'll go around the room. Up until his recent back problems, there was a rumor that Hogan always said, if I'm going to go out, I want to go out in the mega match of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus myself, the immortal Hulk Hogan, brother. Is this Austin just talking, or is Austin going to come back and end the Taker streak, or is he trying to bait TNA and assigning them, even though I know he has a pretty decent, he's got some sort of royalties deal with WWE. Pick one of those. Which do you think Stone Cold Steve Austin is going for?
Pick one evil out of that group and all. Well, first of all, I hope we're not going to see Hogan and Stone Cold. If you guys thought Kane and Taker was bad, if you see Stone Cold with bad back Hogan anytime in the future, forget it. When someone asks you a question, I mean, what does this do for Stone Cold? It just gives him another door. He's still doing his movies. He's still trying to do his TV work. If things don't pan out there, they've been panning out okay for him, and he needs some money, well, heck, he can go have a match with WWE, or if they don't want him, he could go to TNA, make some few quick big dollars there and do something. I don't think it would be anything long-term. It would be short-term. He says one match. I mean, if his neck feels fine, I mean, that was always the concern. If you do one thing wrong and something happens to your neck, you could paralyze yourself for life. If he's okay and he's not going to have any thought of that happening to him. But I just think it's just him saying, hey, yeah, I'd like to have one more match. You know, these guys, I mean, let's face it, how many times we see these wrestlers, as long as they're not permanently injured, that they come back for one more. Look at Ric Flair, I'm retired. WWE, big swan song, and that was all great and good, God bless him. And then what happened? He's back in the ring. So that's what happened with these guys. And Stone Cold, you get that feel, the crowd and the excitement. I mean, these guys love the business. The ones that love the business, they love being there. You can't ever get it out of their system. Not like Goldberg. Goldberg was in it for the money, good guy, worked hard. But he was in it for the money. There's no passion really with Goldberg. But these other guys, the passion, they grew up with it. Goldberg was a football player. Stone Cold was a wrestler. That's what he grew into. Steve Williams. So, I mean, that was the thing. I just think it's just him talking and saying, yeah, maybe he could have one match. You know, he leaves that little door open. I'm sure WWE was looking at it going, whoa, hey, TNA was there saying, oh, look at this. Hey, look at that. Stone Cold wants one more match. Hey, you know, they're all getting excited. But, you know, it's just leaving the door open. That's how I looked at it. That's all.
Says Spug, do we really want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin in a ring one more time?
I do.
Really?
I do, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're not going to be disappointed? You're not going to be disappointed like Kane and Taker?
No, because I think with Austin...
It's not going to be the Steve Austin of 10 years ago now. You know these guys, they all get old. You can't stop
right.
by the time.
Yeah, he's
right.
still hyper-reflexive in his knees. He's still got neck problems, even
Look
if he's
Hogan.
There going, I'm fine, dude.
Right, but even with limitations, Austin always tried to give the crowd their money's worth and what they wanted. And that's why I always had a tremendous amount of respect for him, because no matter if he was hurt or if he was healthy, he always gave the crowd what they came to see. And so, yeah, absolutely I'd want to see him one more time, because I know I'd get my money's worth.
Okay, Mace, be the tiebreaker here. Do you want a Stone Cold Steve Austin at either WrestleMania in Atlanta or possibly walking on new Alive TNA event soon?
Me, I'm not overly fussed, but then again, I wasn't exactly the biggest Austin mark back in the day. If he wants to have one more and he believes he's got one more in him, then by all means, get in the ring and do it. You know, as Jim said, you know, these guys can't get out of the system. I can attest to that myself, you know, independent wrestler. I haven't wrestled in getting close to a year now. And yet, you know, there's the odd moment I get up and go, you know what, I want to get back in the wrestling. You know, you can't stop yourself from doing it once you're in the ring. You know, you get addicted to it. And as I was saying before, if Austin can get in the ring and go one more, then by all means, put him in the ring.
If that happens, do you imagine how much money, though, could be made? I will say that. There would be huge amounts of money that would be made off that just by all the fans that he had. You get an Austin or a Rock back in the ring and the type of allegiances they had with fans, it would be a big moneymaker for whoever got them. If it wasn't a big moneymaker, then somebody dropped the ball big time with that.
Well, the only person who is capable of dropping the ball on something like that is TNA. But
oh, we'll address plenty of ball dropping in the next hour. Sorokin wanted to add his 2 cents into this and said the money match, in his eyes, is Stone Cold Steve Austin versus John Cena. Your thoughts to Jim, and then we'll go around the table again.
Going back and forth now with this in my head, the thing that Cena's not the best worker, we know that, but he tries hard, he does what he can, and he's got the crowd behind him. So from a money and appeal standpoint, that would be a big seller. But do you want to put someone in there that would be able to protect Austin a little more? I don't know who, an Edge, maybe I think he's a much better wrestler than Cena. But I don't know if you're going to get the amount of hype money making out of Austin Edge than Austin and Cena. So yeah, I like it. I like it as long as, you know, Cena's able to protect them. That works.
Okay, Spug. Is it Cena Austin or is it Austin Triple H? Maybe.
Oh wow.
Battle of the knee braces.
Oh yeah, I would take my husband any day. Oh yeah.
Okay, Mace. Let Spug get his obsession going again, because we're on a countdown. Eventually, the Triple H, even though he's got a nice office in Stamford, I'm sure by Elimination Chamber in February he'll be back.
Doesn't he have a cabinet position with the state of Connecticut, the senator elect? Doesn't he have a cabinet position ready?
Yeah, yes. he'll be her chief of staff in Washington. Why not?
Yes. No, if you're going to talk about guys that are going to be able to protect Austin, while Edge has been there a while, I still don't think Edge's ability to protect Austin is up there, and I would say the same for Cena. If you're going to have one more and you want to make it good, but you want to protect both guys, you go with an Undertaker, you go with a Triple H, the individuals who have been there a while,
I think you're right about Triple H. I don't know about Taker though, because you saw him the other night. I mean, Kane is not past this. I mean, Kane is not what he used to be. Kane's not past his prime, but you saw how it was hard for Taker. I mean, it's been hard. I don't know if he'd be able to protect him that well in the ring. I know he had obviously the experience factor. I think Triple H is in a little better shape than Taker. I mean, they both had their wear and tear on their bodies, but I just see it. I don't know. I don't know how much Taker could really protect Austin.
He could protect him more. I would say because Taker's been through the wars and been through it enough with as many broken body parts as Taker has. There's a lot. Taker could protect him on a level that Edge or Cena couldn't.
Well,
but if he's going to TNA, real quick, I'm sorry. If he comes back to the ring and he comes into TNA, I'd like to see him one more time in the ring with Angle.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Your thoughts, Mace, on the possibility of a Stone Cold Cena or who, if you're creative for either promotion, let's say WWE right now, if you're going into WrestleMania in Atlanta, who do you put if this is legit and Stone Cold's back? Who do you put him with as your opponent for WrestleMania in Atlanta?
If you're going to do that, if you're not going to go if you're not going to put Cena with Taker at WrestleMania, then you definitely put Cena with Austin. Especially if you're going to turn Cena heel, because then you have Austin coming back as the big face going, you think you're bad. I was bad before you were even born, blah, 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 blah. You know, and just have Austin run him down and just lead into a big drag-out fight at WrestleMania.
Hey, Austin, that would be awesome.
I forgot about the bad part. That's pretty good. You know what? If I forgot two to throw in here too. What is Randy Orton? You know, if Randy Orton was staying as a true bad guy, he's still a bad guy, but fans are liking him now. But remember, Randy Orton is the legend killer. You have Austin coming back to try to destroy the moniker of the legend killer, Randy Orton. I think that also has a lot of potential as well.
No, that'd be a post-match thing. That'd be Orton, say, if he's in a match and he retains or something, he's got the bells, he's posing, it just Austin comes out, gives him a stunner, flips him off and walks away.
That's how you do an RKO, bitch.
Well, there was talk, I remember reading this, I think it was via Joey Styles' Twitter. Joey made a comment about the RKO being more effective than the stunner, and Austin's replied, "You've got to be kidding me."
Well, my dream match would be a drinking contest between Stone Cold Steve Austin and one of my favorite longtime friends in TNA wrestling, the Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm. Book it, Vince Russo.
Yes, yes. I would watch that. I would watch that. Actually, no, that would be backstage after the show.
With JBL?
During the show and
after
the show.
With JBL
with a run-in, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll get JBL off the Fox Business News set. All right, John, get in there and drink, brother. All right, as we go to break, we're going to thank Jim for his time. Tell everybody how they can find your column on the Miami Herald website.
Yeah, just miamiherald.com/sports/wrestling, feature stories, upcoming events, and some columns, and and a Q&A too. If anyone has questions, answers, want to make comment, that's fine as well. So thank you all for the time. Appreciate it.
Alrighty, thanks for joining us. On the way out after this break, we will be back. The second hour is straight up TNA wrestling talk as we go into Bound for Glory and Daytona. We'll talk about the Before the Glory event and the craziness that's going on there. On a Sting in the Police night, Mason Spug will stick around. All on World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back.
Go and throw away the key. You wanna hold on to your position?
So every day I get all these emails here at CindySin.com. Let me read you the latest one I got. Dear Cindy, Cindy, I just wanted to say you are such an awesome person. And wait, Rock, didn't I tell you to stop emailing me? Oh, this isn't from Rock. This is from someone named Steve. Anyway, if you have any questions about dating, relationships, or sex, email me today by going to my website, CindySin.com.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Greetings, my fellow geeks. This is Mace of Otaku Talk Live, and I have come out here today to address you as one of you. What I have done is I have created a download-only podcast for those of us who want to sit there and talk about comics, for those of us who want to sit there and just talk video games, and for those of us who just want to sit there and bash the living crap out of movies. What is this called? It's called Bashing the Books. Who are you going to hear on it? Me! You get to hear me go on and on about comic books, movies, and games. So, think of it as a mini OTL, but with more Australians. So, that's Bashing the Books, available hopefully every Wednesday or Thursday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Back to hour number two of Online World of Wrestling Radio on a Sting in the Police night music-wise. That's off of Sting's brand new day album. It's called Desert Rose. It's got a really awesome video where he publicizes a car the whole damn time. It was a car commercial eventually. And yeah, check that out. Sting.com, which, yes, as we mentioned, not owned by Gordon Sumner, owned by Steve Borden. Thanks to Jim Barcelona, MiamiHerald.com for joining us here on the show. 877-588-9877, option 1. If you wish to voice an opinion, which you are more than welcome to do, and don't leave to go watch NXT on the WWE.com. Nobody watched it on TV. Why are you leaving our room to go watch that there, man? Stick here and watch and listen and talk some TNA wrestling, because starting this Thursday, running till this Sunday, it is, as their announcer says, it's Bound for Glory weekend, live on pay-per-view. And that dude is actually a really nice Christian film voiceover guy in Nashville that TNA producer and director David Sahadi found. And when I met the guy, I was just going like, you're the dude that does the TNA stuff? He looks like he just walked out of church from somewhere, going to the post-bake-off somewhere. I was like, you're the voice of TNA thingy-thingy. He's like, yep, that's me. I was like, wow. All right, now, this past Thursday night, once again, you were forced with a 12-gauge shotgun to watch Reaction for a few minutes as we watched a steel cage match with no basis of storyline was involved here. But I know I want basis in storyline and TNA product. I know I'm in the wrong place. That you had Kurt Angle and Abyss end in what I guess is a no contest. They didn't really give a thing as to what the heck happened. We announced that it looks like RVD is going to be taking on Abyss in a Monsters Ball match, which should be real fun. Wrap RVD up in some more gauze and he's ready to go. You had probably one of the more intense promos in recent wrestling history, with Mick Foley and Ric Flair in a let's see who can bust their face open more, setting up a last man standing match on this Thursday night's live, and I do mean live, Impact, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and I don't even know what time in other countries, because apparently the other countries get more TNA than we do. Phenomenal AJ Styles took out D. Brian Kendrick with help from Matt Morgan. You had another interesting promo set up that apparently the Hulkster, with all his computer wires that have been put into his lower back, and we wish him nothing but the best, and also best wishes to Jim Ross, who has some blockage issues with his heart, where hopefully he gets better soon. But Hulk Hogan was in the hospital here again in the Tampa Bay area, getting some sort of electro stimulation thing put surgically into his back. So now they're turning him more and more into RoboCop than anything else. You had Samoa Joe lose to Mr. Anderson. Why? I don't know. I didn't write this stuff. Looks like there will be a 6-man match this pay-per-view with the Pope, Sting and Nash, taking on Jarrett, Joe, and a mystery person that they're hoping is Hogan, but, ooh, God. I know Spug doesn't watch TNA, so I don't know if Maze happen to check out the show and your thoughts on Impact?
I did. Wasn't one of the more spectacular Impacts. But they've been slowly getting better and better, especially when they start really gearing up for the pay-per-views. I'm actually expecting a lot more out of this week's show than I did out of last week's. Not really much to say about last week's Impact. It was pretty stock standard. You know, let's start building the storylines towards, not only Bound for Glory on 10-10-10, or technically here in Australia, 11-10-10, but, the live Impact next week. You know, I was very interested in the build up for Foley versus Flair on the live Impact more than, you know, RVD versus Abyss at Bound for Glory.
And wasn't it a little convenient that this Monday night, the other night, we got to see a battle royal, which, of course, we're supposed to see this Thursday night, whereas Dixie Carter said every member of the TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view will be involved in a $100,000 battle royal. Cool. Too bad you had WWE sit there and go, hey, battle royal would be a neat idea on our show tonight. What do you guys think? Cool. We're there. The other matches that are announced so far, for this event, as mentioned, the $100,000 Battle Royal, Flair Foley in a Last Man Standing match, Tara Madison Rain versus the Beautiful People for the title of the Beautiful People. Why can't we all just go on the People's Court, damn it? Get Judge Wobner's ghost in here now. Move it in. There you go. Put him and Judge Judy together. You fight it out to the death. Also, the debut of The Shore, which, if you're indie fans, you know is Northeast star Rob Echoes and Vicky Bayless. It's one of those things for just in a pop culture sense for Spug here, since I know you don't watch the product every week. Going into, could you possibly have thought that TNA would have jumped it instead of WWE and doing a Shore gimmick, or you think, why in God's name are we even doing this?
Can we drop a nuclear missile on those two? Look, I get it, he's from Jersey, but for Christ's sakes, I'm pretty sure that you can find a better representation than six idiots who look orange and are worried about bumping their fists.
And aren't even from Jersey, they're all New Yorkers, man.
Aren't they all Long Islanders? Aren't they all Islanders?
Yeah, they're all from the boroughs on Long Island, and the whole thing with the Jersey Shore, for fans don't know it, and I only know it because I'm from New York, the whole Shore thing is what some Italian folks normally would do, to rent a house for the summer, and they go to Brighton Beach and whatever area is there. But in this sense, are you surprised that WWE Creative didn't go there first in doing a whole thing? I mean, you got enough kids sitting down in developmental, you couldn't have just grabbed a couple of them and said, congratulations, you're the Jersey Shore guys, have fun.
I would hope that WWE was smarter than that, to be quite honest with you. I'm not even going to lie. I would hope that WWE would be smarter than that.
I hope so. I'm interested just to see how the live audience will react to him. I believe Echoes was at an autograph event up in the Northeast recently, so we'll see how that works out for him. The weird part out of all of this, especially the reaction show, how much, apparently this Thursday night, it's supposed to be a live reaction show, which, it almost feels like you're watching the Monday Night Football or the feature match of the week in a rugby event. And it's like, all right, cool, here's the post show event. And TNA tried this when they did their January 4th event, that did a live internet thing. Is this possibly the last gasp for this reaction show, we hope, Mace?
Believe it or not, that's one of the shows I don't get. If I want to get it, I have to do the sort of less than legal thing and download it.
Oh, we do everything legally here.
Well, that's the only option I have if I want to see reaction. And, you know, TNA have been trying to push people to watch it, because I noticed at the end of Impact they sort of cut it off, and then I go online to find out what happened. Oh, look, you got to watch reaction to see the rest of it.
Yeah, my funny moment.
You're not going to happen.
Now, my funny moment of the TNA Impact this past week was Rob Van Dam's promo from Los Angeles, which, having been at Universal from 04 to 07, kids, he wasn't in there, because you could hear the Universal roller coasters going off right behind him. I'm like, yeah, I know exactly where that is. That's the production offices. If you go over by the gate, and you'd see the Hulk roller coaster going. I know we addressed this earlier in other shows. The return of Rob Van Dam before there is even a champion. Does this bother either one of you? I don't know if this was addressed on WrestleTalk Radio this past Sunday. I was busy celebrating my wedding anniversary. So to Spug and then to Mace, does this bother you at all that you're still crowning a champ, and your old champ shows up before you crown him, and immediately admits, I want a shot at the new champ, whoever it is?
Hell yeah, bothers me. Because, all right, my major gripe against TNA all along has been their their poor judgment and poor management skills. That's been my big gripe. How are you going to bring an individual back whom you stripped of the title of because you signed him to this contract and he ran out of dates and you gave him the belt anyway, so you had to take the belt off of him, and you're going to bring him back before the whole tournament is over, before anything that you laid, you know, any type of groundwork that you laid after he left hasn't even completed yet? How? How are you going to do that legitimately and say it was a good decision?
Okay, Mace, capitalize on what he's saying. Pretty please.
It's stupid! So stupid!
Pure and simple. Friggin' stupid. I'm sorry, but to bring RVD was out for what? 2-3 weeks? Then they bring him back. There's not even a new champ yet. It's stupid!
I wish I could come up with something better to follow that, but it's just weird. Rock and I brought it up last week. I brought it up at events, even sitting with the fans at ASW here in Florida on Friday nights. That was one of the things they said to me, is like, what do you think? You covered TNA for all those years, and I do think it's very awkward to have a champ. Not even, you've had no champ for this whole time, and now, oh, by the way, I'm back, brother, and I want Abyss, and I want the winner for my belt. And I'm like, wait, what? Huh? And what do they got to do? Is Rob Van Dam the new John Cena Superman type here? That he was covered in blood or Karo syrup or whatever the heck they use for Halloween Horror Nights here in Orlando area? I don't understand it.
You got Samu to patch him up with duct tape.
Probably some duct tape, some crazy glue, or if you're a fan of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, they sprayed some Windex on him and he got up and moving around. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by Wild Talk Radio Network, Click Wrestle, and undergroundradio.com, who sponsor our 800 number. You can also Skype Sir Rockin, joined by Mason Spug from Wrestle Talk Radio. You can hear on this network every Sunday night at 10 p.m., unless you're listening in this Sunday night, where I'll be joining them and Tim Stein and the Omega and possibly Will for an 11 p.m. recap of this pay-per-view event, which, as mentioned, as of this moment, it is your triple threat match, Mr. Anderson, Ace's least favorite, Jeff Hardy, soon to be a visitor of the Carolina Correctional Facility, if some of us have our way, and Mr. If I Lose, I Retire, Kurt Angle. Give me a winner here, Mace. Is it obvious that Hardy at Angle wins this thing, because if he loses, he retires, or is there a wild card scenario here?
I went with Mr. Angle to win it, mainly due to I heard rumblings of the fact that he's re-signed his contract, so why would you re-sign and then go sit on your butt for a year or whatever he's signed for?
Okay, Spug, give me a picker if you like. Who are you putting your 25 cents down on? I know you guys may have done this on Wrestle Talk Radio, but I don't know how much of my audience listens to you guys and vice versa.
I said Anderson on WTR, but I'm going to change that because I didn't know that Angle had signed a new contract, so I'm going to say Angle. And by the way, for as much bashing that I do of TNA, I have to say thank you for getting something right, and that's the Foley Flair angle. I've been waiting for a long time to have a finish to that angle that it needed. And a last man standing match on Thursday, you can rest assured that I will be tuning in to watch that.
Yeah, well, you bring that up. Would you rather have waited and seen it on the Sunday pay-per-view, or is it the better format to do it on the live Impact?
If you're trying to get ratings, you do it on the live Impact. But as WCW screwed up with Goldberg Hogan years ago, there's enough Flair and Foley fans out there that you could have got some buy rates out of the pay-per-view for it, too.
And the other interesting match is possibly the blow-off of the EV 2.0 Fortune feud. Lethal lockdown rules will be applied, which looks stupid in a four-sided ring, but hey, I'm not TNA creative. I'm not 100% sure on who the four are going to be. I don't think they've even mentioned it. So you could possibly have in this Beer Money Inc., Styles, Kazarian, possibly Doug Williams, unless he's getting an unannounced rematch at Jay Lethal at the pay-per-view, which we haven't heard anything on Jay Lethal yet. If he's going to defend the belt, we know the knockout tag belts are not going to be defended because one half of the group, Taylor Wilde apparently is off to England to do some stuff. So, are either of you, we'll go to Mace and then we'll go to Spug, because I know he's an ECW fan of some of these gentlemen, not all of them. Is this the blow-off, and if so, who are you picking? Who did you pick Sunday?
I'm hoping this is the blow-off, because frankly, I sort of forgot that the EV guys were there over the last 2 to 3 weeks. They seem to be pushing them further and further into the background. As for Fortune, I'm not a big fan of Fortune. Something just irks me about the group. But if I'm going to have to pick a winner for this match, going to go Fortune, because it looks like they're the guys that they want to continue with.
Okay, Spug, we've had this conversation on the show before about, yes, you were happy that they did the Hardcore Justice event, and yes, you seem happy that some of these gentlemen are here still, but as May said, is this the end of EV 2.0 as we know it, and who you picking?
God, I hope so. I really do. Look, I loved seeing them get a last hurrah, and I loved seeing them work again. And for Christ's sakes, if you're going to do something with them, give Tommy Dreamer the book. But I will say, I'm hoping they're past their prime. The time for them in the wrestling industry has come and gone, and it's time for them to move on and do things that other legends and veterans would do, mainly go to the back and school the new guys coming in and pass the knowledge down like you're supposed to. So I'm hoping, even though I can't stand Fortune, I'm hoping they win because I would like to see an end to it, end of the EV 2.0 gimmick.
I'm going to go in that sentiment, too. I think there's more money in Fortune and possibly let Tommy have everybody else disappear and maybe have Tommy recruit some of the TNA talent to say, I'm tired of these guys. Are you tired of these guys? Cool, let's all have an uprising and go off and do our thing. So good luck to all of them. And big shock, the bad guys have the advantage going in a lethal lockdown. Who would have thought that? As mentioned, Monsters Ball, the Master of the Monsters Ball match, the monster himself, Abyss, takes on Rob Van. Oh, God, I'm over-taped here, man. Damn! As mentioned, none of us seem to be a fan of RVD even being on this pay-per-view. But it's not certainly going to be some of the monstrous ball matches we've seen in previous TNA pay-per-views, but take them or pick them to Mace.
I'm hoping that we get at least a bloodbath out of this one, you know, because frankly, seeing as RVD can recover in less than 3 weeks from being absolutely obliterated by the plank of wood with nails in it.
It's the cannabis, man. The cannabis has got healing powers, brother.
Medical marijuana, man. It should be legalized, supposedly.
Absolutely, man. Oh, sorry. I'm channeling my inner stoner there. There's a guy who's 36 and has never done a drug or drink or anything else. Hi, CM Punk.
As for who will win it, I'm actually going with Abyss because if they're going to do the big reveal of who they are, then to have Abyss lose is going to really destroy that intro for who they are.
Right, give me who you think they are before we go to Spug. Who is they? Is it, like some people have said, is it a Bischoff, Hogan, Swerve? Is it Vince Russo? Is it someone that's not even involved in the company at all? Like, oh, I don't know, Ultimate Warrior or somebody? I mean, just who? Pick somebody. Is it you? Are you they?
No, I'm not.
Why did you went from Australia to be they?
No, I'm not. I have received no tickets from TNA, nor have I been sending them information. If I'm gonna, like, to be honest, I have no clue as to who they are. I haven't really bothered looking into the speculation. This has been the one storyline that I've actually been glad to sit back and go, you know what, I know nothing, I don't want to know anything, surprise me. But if I'm going to throw out a wild guess, I'm going to say Jim Cornette is part of they.
Interesting. Pick the winner, Spug, and who's they? In your eyes, if you're the book. I think we lost them.
No, I'm here. I muted my microphone because I went into a sneezing fit.
God bless you, sir.
I'm going to say Abyss wins, and they is probably a collection of released WWE talent all signed to bad contracts.
So we're going to see Haas, Benjamin, Mickey James, who's rumored to be even showing up this Thursday night on the live show.
Yeah, possibly. I
Hurricane
see
Helms, Burchill.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's probably what it's going to be.
I think they is my two-year-old daughter, Abby, because she's been getting that sinister minister-like laugh going and scares me. My interesting match of the night is the night stealer has got to be the Guns versus Gen Me. This has been one of the more interesting tag feuds, and this TNA is so working the tag division excellently. This is their moneymaker right now. To Spug, and unless you have to sneeze again, the Guns are the Hardy Boys 2.0. Who are you taking?
I like the Guns, and I watched that best of five that the Guns had with I think it was Beer Money, and that was,
oh yeah, the best of
that
five.
That was a great series. One thing I will say that is good about TNA is their tag division, man, and I love tag team wrestling. So I'm actually kind of interested to see how this match turns out. But I'm going to say the Guns.
Okay, Mace, pick them. The Guns or Gen Me or the fans, because we get to see another kick-ass tag match.
The fans will be enjoyed because this will be bouncy Mexican jumping bean wrestling. But as for an actual winner, got to go with the Guns, man. The Guns are TNA tag team wrestling.
And what many people seem to be calling the bathroom match, your six-man match, the Pope, Sting, and Nash versus Jeff, the daughter of the video people in Taylor Swift's latest video, the Jarrett girls are apparently in the video, Samoa Joe and a mystery person. I don't even think we need to go for a pick on this one because the winner is nobody, because why is this match here? I don't know. Before we go to break, we got one more that is, thanks to Miss Tessmacher, was booked. Who knew the girl had power? Good for her. An interesting outfit on Thursday. A fatal four-way for the Knockouts Championship. It's the champ Angelina Love versus Terror versus Madison Rain versus Velvet Sky versus how many times Taz will say, "Let the pigeons fly, man!" Take your pick there, Spug.
Terra. Plain and simple. Terra.
Mace, pick your knockout.
I believe I initially said Madison Rain, but I'm going to switch that to Angelina Love, have her retain it, only to have the, this is me, the way I'd book things, I'd have Mickey James run out at the end of that match and start a beatdown on Angelina Love and join up with Madison Rain and Terra to become the new Beautiful People.
Interesting move. We'll all find out this Sunday live pay-per-view, and then don't forget 11 o'clock, Russell Talk Radio will be live on the air with a post-show wrap-up. We're going to go to break, and we'll come back with a recap of the past year of TNA Wrestling, and I say that because TNA considers Bound for Glory their WrestleMania. So we'll shoot the breeze on October of 09 to now in TNA. We'll mention some indie dates that you can go check out in your area. As much as we always say, support the WWE and TNA, and your definitely support your local indies, whether it's here in the United States, overseas, anywhere you can find them. We'll be back on Online World of Wrestling Radio on Sting and the Police Night. Stay tuned.
Maybe I could come and babysit sometime. She says, are you okay? I was worried about you. Can you forgive me? I hope that you'll be happy. I said, I'm so happy that I can't stop crying. I'm so happy.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and vlogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Mark Berry. Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
everyone. This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Option 1 is a way to join us on All Our World of Wrestling Radio. Thank you for staying with us in our second hour and not switching over to watch NXT on WWE.com, which I believe May said he can't even watch right now. Gotta love WWE for helping all their friends out. Spug and Mays from Wrestle Talk Radio joining us here on the show. You can also Skype Sir Rockin if you have an opinion. We do welcome every and all opinion, as noted in some of the interviews we've done recently. And as mentioned, we didn't do a guest this week because of the enormity of Bound for Glory weekend. And as mentioned, this is basically a year in the I almost call them WCW again, man. It just feels like it sometimes when you watch their programming. This is a year in the TNA calendar. And if you go back just to last year's Bound for Glory, which was October 18th in Irvine, California, here's the names of people that from that point to now do not work on the company's roster or have been just, they're still signed but they're not around. Or you haven't seen them on TV in a while. Booker T gone. Scott Steiner gone. Raisha Saeed, you know she's gone because we had Trillian Melissa on a couple weeks ago. The Awesome Kong gone. ODB gone. Bobby Lashley gone. Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels gone. Homicide gone. Consequences Creed gone, because he's now in FCW. Eric Young all but gone from TV. Hot Stuff Hernandez all but gone from TV. Team 3D all but gone from TV. Just to look back at that pay-per-view, Mace, to now, are you missing any of these people as a fan, or are you going, I like the current product that they got on screen?
I think probably the only ones I'd really miss out of that lot are Christopher Daniels and ODB. I was a big ODB mark. Thought she was great for a woman of her attitude, and, you know, she wasn't quite the overstuffed, skinny, blonde bimbo. At least she wasn't at the start. But Daniels, you know, you always got to miss Daniels. The dude was absolutely amazing in the ring, and unfortunately I don't have access to Ring of Honor, where I believe he is now, but luckily, thanks to Madman Entertainment, who gave me a copy of TNA's Best of 2009, which has two matches from the Bound for Glory pay-per-view on it. I won a contest.
Oh, nice. Well, you're a fan of ODB.
For some reason, I've got a copy of TNA Impact on PSP. I don't own a PSP. Anybody want it? Shoot me an email. Give me a price. It's yours.
And now, if you want to see ODB, you tune in to the iPay-per-view from Go Fight Live on November 6th. Women's Superstars Uncensored. She'll be making her debut against Portia Perez. Of the names mentioned, Spug, and as we preface, Spug is not a huge TNA viewer, but of those names mentioned, and if you need me to repeat them, I will, anyone from last Bound for Glory to this one that you're sitting there going, damn, where'd they go, man? I wish they were here.
Christopher Daniels, of course. That's always one you're gonna miss. I thought Bobby Lashley was alright. I have no idea who Consequences Creed is, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, but now in WWE's developmental, he's Xavier Woods, if we're keeping points at home.
I have no idea who that is, so... I liked ODB. Who are some of the other names?
You had Homicide, who we had last week, gone.
I'm kind
Steiner,
of pissed I missed
Booker T. I thought you were going to be
missed,
here.
But. Yeah, I'm kind of pissed I missed that interview. And to be perfectly honest, last Tuesday my wife had a rough day, so I was giving her back massages and bubble baths. So.
All right, he's doing the good husband role. We appreciate
that. See, Alan knows.
I feel the man's pain. I've done crazier stuff.
But no, I really did want to be here for that interview. I don't miss Steiner. I never liked Steiner to begin with. I don't miss Booker T. I really wasn't a fan of his. Homicide is one though that I kind of wish was still around. So there's a few that I wish were still in TNA that probably would make the product better than it is right now.
Well, let's flash it forward to the now infamous January 4th live debut, where you had, as we addressed with Homicide last week, you had the Steel Asylum with Shelley, Sabin, Homicide, Kiyoshi, who is Suicide now, but shh. Jay Lethal, Consequences Creed, Suicide, who we believe at the time was Frankie the Future Kazarian. We love Frankie on the show. And The Amazing Red, which also was the debut of your friend and ours, Jeff Hardy. And also on that event, you saw the debuts of Bubba the Love Sponge. Ugh. You had the debuts of Shannon Moore. You had Bobby Lashley, who I believe it was around this point of the year, he ended up going into Bischoff's office and saying, I quit. You had the debut of Ric Flair. You had Sean Waltman and Scott Hall showing up. You had that promo to go head-to-head with WWE. You had Sean Morley debuting. You had Knobs and Sags debuting. Raven, Dr. Stevie were all in that. Pope and Orlando Jordan, Desmond Wolfe, and it's obvious, and it was also believed the night that they tried to turn Jet around that was them trying to turn Jeff Jarrett almost into a heel, and the fans backlashed on it. I mean, I know you guys have talked it to death on your network show, but your thoughts on, was it, obviously, you know, we're looking ahead now. Instead of a live Monday night, we're doing a live Thursday night. Your thoughts on what went right and went wrong with this whole thing? What did they do right and what did they do wrong, Spug?
First of all, they were wrong to even think about going up against WWE live on Monday nights. If they had stayed live on... I think they should have stayed live on Thursday.
Which may be what's going on. That could be Dixie's big surprise for all I know, unless she's getting Brett Favre from the Vikings to come in and take everybody's job.
Dude, he'll just cry at the end of the year next year in September, and we'll wonder for a month if he's going to show up at Bound for Glory. So it's not, you know, you're not missing anything. What was that?
Probably a motorcycle going by on my block.
I think the overall horrible decision was to bring I can kind of run it down in order. One, you're not firing Vince Russo, which you should have. Two, you didn't shell out and lay all out for Paul Heyman like you should have. Three, you brought in all of Hogan and Bischoff's buddies, Waltman, Hall, so on and so forth, and didn't put them on the back burner. Like they should be, because obviously they're not with the company anymore. And four, you ran up against the buzzsaw that is the WWE and tried to go live and compete on their night. You should have stayed live on Thursdays and built your own little market when you can beat consistently SmackDown ratings. Then it's time to step up the chain a little bit.
Your overall thoughts, because as we mentioned, they went live July 4th and stayed on Mondays until just before the May Sacrifice pay-per-view. So it looks like from what's going on in Dixie Carter's world with all these bombshell secrets and this and that, it looks like, Mace, that possibly we're going to get a live Impact every Thursday night. Your thoughts on the whole experiment of a Monday night version of TNA Impact?
The experiment should not have happened, pure and simple. They should have done what they're doing this Thursday night. They should have gone live Thursdays first, see how they go. Because if everybody has been saying since day one, the problem with TNA is, oh my god, you can read the spoilers on the internet, who wants to watch a show where you can find out what happens easily. They shouldn't have bothered Monday nights from the get-go because, well, that's WWE's night. They should have known going into this that we're going to get slaughtered every week. I think January 4th was the only time that they actually popped a decent rating on Monday nights. But, yeah, it was an experiment that should not have happened. Pure and simple.
And I joined the Online World of Wrestling family around the time of another interesting experiment, which was at the Valentine's Day TNA Against All Odds pay-per-view, where you had the 8-card stud tournament, which was won by D'Angelo De Niro, who then had to sit and wait till lockdown, I believe it was, to get his shot at the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. From then till now, your overall thoughts on Pope D'Angelo De Niro, Mace? Is he possibly, he's teetered on main event, he's teetered mid-card. Is he your answer if you're looking for a new top guy, or is he going to be pushed back by the 40, 50 some odds that are still involved?
Pope's been doing great, in my opinion, over the last 12 months. He's a character that has, even though he's had his little setbacks and injuries here and there, he's one of these characters that's been able to evolve and sort of become popular with the fans. Not too crazy about this sudden heel turn, but, you know, I'm not the guy holding the book.
Not if we have our way. We'll make that happen, I'm telling you. We'll get a writing campaign going.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, why not? You saw him work as Elijah Burke in WWE, and he was a part of ECW, whatever version you want to call it. Overall take on the Pope D'Angelo De Niro in TNA, Spug, if you can give an opinion.
I think he works. I never had a problem with his work rate in WWE. I never had a problem with his ethic in WWE either, so yeah, I'd say he's all right. No issues.
And as we all know, he fell to AJ Styles at the lockdown event, and then subsequently, I believe, injured at the hands of Mace's least favorite performer, Mr. Anderson, who dressed up, I believe, like a church boy or an altar boy, or I have no idea what the heck happened there. You saw, as mentioned, the emergence slowly but surely of Mr. 420, Mr. whatever week, day of the week you want to call him, Rob Van Dam. Going back to his debut till now, was he the right choice to put the title on, especially doing it on an Impact as opposed to a pay-per-view, Spug?
Rephrase that.
Your overall feel, the way that Rob Van Dam's been used, should he have ever even touched the TNA World title from 2009 to now?
No. Because knowing how it turned out, they screwed it up completely.
Okay, to you, Mace, as well. Use of Rob Van Dam, especially moving him up, only to have him go, wait, I'm over my dates. I have a title belt. Oh, crap. What do I do?
Yeah, like, they built him up really well. They made him seem exciting and the guy to watch through, you know, the debut till now. Putting the title on him, given the fact that they were only going to take it off him a little while later for no real reason other than, oh my god, you've run out of dates. No. That was, like I said, that was stupid. You probably shouldn't have put the belt on him if you knew. Like, they were relying heavily on him before they gave him the belt. They should have seen this coming and should have planned for it appropriately. They didn't. It's backfired and it screwed everything up.
Speaking of backfired, one of the biggest acquisitions that we as wrestling fans were interested in was the emergence of the former Nigel McGuinness, now Desmond Wolfe. And if you want to talk botch mania or botch and booking, this pretty much covers it all, guys. Because many people, when he turned down the WWE deal, it seemed like he was going, and next thing you know, you're like, hey, you're in TNA, and what's with the girl, and cool, you're in an angle with Kurt Angle. Yes, I said Angle twice, pretty cool. And next thing you know, it's like, yes, main event, moving up, and wait, what do you mean, you're fighting Abyss over Chelsea? And where did this Chelsea girl even come from? I mean, is this the most botched acquisition in your eyes, Mace, or is there somebody even worse that they've recently brought in that equals it?
This was a definite botch for TNA. They had a guy who is probably one of the top wrestlers in the world, who, as we saw with his matches with Kurt Angle, can put on something absolutely magical. I believe at one point we were calling that series with Kurt Angle either feud of the year or matches of the year. But when it came to a head, when it was the fans vote in whoever's going to get a title shot, if you remember that little debacle, the fans actually won out in the end. Like the hardcore wrestling fans who wanted to see a good match, you know, Nigel won it. He got squashed in 5 seconds, and then they went immediately to, you know, the quote-unquote popular booking choice of Jeff Hardy. I think if they had listened to the fans and given the guy a real shot, he would still be in the main event scene today, if not TNA champion. But they dropped the ball because they got Jeff Hardy, and oh my god, you know, he seems to bring in ratings, supposedly. I don't know. Who cares about Jeff Hardy? I'd rather watch Nigel McGuinness.
Absolutely. We'll see if Spug agrees or disagrees. Is the booking of Nigel McGuinness / Desmond Wolfe the biggest screw up in the calendar year of TNA? If not, what is?
Booking wise it's the biggest screw up. But if I have to say, their biggest screw-up of the year is going head-on with WWE. That's their biggest screw-up. But booking-wise, the way they what they did to Nigel McGuinness, yeah, that's their biggest booking screw-up of the year.
Now, one of the interesting things is, if we can, we'll bring the ladies in for a second, because some of us are fans of women's wrestling, and when we had Tracy Brooks on, we brought this up, and we brought it up a little bit with cheerleader Melissa, the former Raisha Saeed, as well. In this calendar year, look who left. You had at one point on this roster of knockouts, you had Gail Kim, Nikki Rocks, or Roxy, or whatever you want to call her. You had Awesome Kong. You had Tracy ODB, and instead you're left with who you see now, with Madison Rayne. And I'm not knocking the current product. I'm sure there's some listeners that are going, oh yeah, he hates the girls that are on now. No, I don't. I find the Beautiful People gimmick very entertaining. I would have preferred them stay heel, but as we've already outlined here, neither Mace nor I have the pen, because if we did, wow, you'd be watching a totally different product on Thursday. The overall handling of the division to Mace, because you've got right now, it's Sarita, maybe, maybe not, Hamada and Taylor Wilde are your tag champs. You've got the belt back with the beautiful people. Tara's here, not here. Hey, look, she's back. You may have Mickey James, you may not. You had Katie Burchill or Katie Leo or whatever you want to call her come in for dark and not do so great. The overall picture of the Knockouts division, do you think that overall going back to when they instilled this, is this a better division than it was this time last year?
12 months ago, it was almost a completely different division, in my opinion, anyway. I'm currently sitting here with the TNA trading cards. Yes, I do collect them, people. I have a full set of 2008 and 2009, currently working on 2010. And I'm just looking through, and, you know, Angelina Love, yeah, she's still there. Velvet Sky, still there. Daphne, where the fuck did she go? Excuse the language.
It's okay, we're venting. We're allowed to vent a little bit.
Yeah. Tara, she was there, now left, then came back. ODB, gone. SoCal Val, well, she never really wrestles. Jenna Maruska's disappeared. Sojourner Bolt's gone. You know, the amount of women, like, that were wrestling at the time, back then, has diminished to next to nothing. And I don't really want to put it down this way, but to me, the Knockouts division these days just seems like Divas Light. Seriously, it just sounds and seems to me that, you know, TNA have gone from having what was, in my opinion, the best women's wrestling division in the world to being, okay, we have divas now. You know, they're all Barbie dolls. Very good-looking Barbie dolls, but still Barbie dolls.
Your thoughts?
I'm a big women's wrestling fan. I'm sorry.
Hey, we're all for the women's wrestling here.
I agree with him. 100%. I agree with him. I think
he covered it all.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely right.
And as we outlined earlier,
where's
Daphne? Yeah. Where is everybody? And also we forgot the botched experiment that was Rosie Lotta Love. Thank goodness that went away.
Alan, thank you for reminding me of that because I had successfully driven that image out of my mind.
Yeah, I ruined it. I'm stunned. And just think, this is who's on the WSU I pay-per-view. Mercedes Martinez, former WWE superstar Jazz. Angel Orsini, Serena Deeb, Tracy Brooks, ODB, you've got Alicia, you've got Brittany Savage, you've got the Bell Saints, Amy Lee, Jessica Havoc, Amber, Brittany Force, Rain, Melissa Coates, Jennifer Cruz, any one of them could go to the Knockouts division and kick ass, but I don't have the book. We're going to keep going here on the show for a little while longer. Thanks for sticking with us and not going to watch NXT because, hey, WWE wanted you to watch it. They would have left it on the network somewhere. 877-588-9877, option one is the way to join us. You can also Skype Sir Rockin'. Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com is the way to send us thoughts and opinions on the show. We welcome every and all. Joined by Spug and Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio, which can be heard on this network this Sunday night, 11 o'clock Eastern. And we'll continue just breaking down for a few more minutes the year that was in TNA wrestling. And it also saw what it seems to be WWE can't really do right, and that's some kick-ass tag team matches. And as mentioned before, the best of five between the Motor City Machine Guns and Beer Money. You've currently got the Beer Money involved in Fortune. You've got Inc. running around. You've got Team 3D kind of running around. You've got any combination of the EV 2.0 guys. tag team seems to be, for the last few years at least, going even back to a couple years ago when you had 3D and the Naturals and America's Most Wanted and Team Canada. Seems to be the one thing that TNA's been getting right, that and certain X Division matches. And that's to either one of you guys. Feel free to chime in.
Well, we've always said that they have a good tag team and middleweight division. I've always said that. Go back. Listen to any of the shows on this network that I've been on, and I've said that. It's unfortunate, though, that they keep taking away from what could be their, you know, their niche, their go-to home run hitter.
Your overall thoughts on tag team 2009 to 10, Mace, and we'll even throw some X Division in there too.
Well, as Buck said, you know, the tag team division was one of the staples of TNA. It was we used to see TNA as the guys that picked up the balls that WWE dropped. You know, the WWE couldn't do women's wrestling worth a damn. TNA picked up the ball and created one of the better women's divisions we'd seen in years. WWE drops the ball on the tag team division. TNA picked it up and ran with it. Like you said, we had America's Most Wanted. We had the Naturals. We had a whole heap of great teams. And I don't know, it seems a bit less now. But they seem to be doing good with what they've got. You know, as we've said, Beer Money versus the Motor City Machine Gun, best of five. That is pretty much one of the best tag team feuds of the year, if not longer than that. They've been able to actually build up some good teams with guys that we never thought would last 2 minutes.
And we're still live, I hope. Everybody just, like, totally disappeared.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, I think we just... Did we lose Mace? He's saying he has some lawnmowers going. There he is. He's yelling at lawnmowing people, going, "Damn you, shut up!" As mentioned earlier when we brought up the pay-per-view, the experiment that was TNA Hardcore Justice... Looking back to it, I know I took a lot of flack from listeners like Jersey Girl and other folks that were saying I was wrong and that I should support this thing. Look back to it, because obviously TNA doesn't have to be in a private company. They don't have to release their buy rates. I think they never do unless somebody steals something out of Terry Taylor's office. To Spug, looking back on it, good decision, bad decision, meh, as Mace likes to say?
I would have switched the two shows. That Hardcore Justice is something you could have done on a Thursday night. It didn't need a pay-per-view. You could have put it live on television on a Thursday night, and it would have done just fine, to be quite honest with you.
To Mace, thoughts on EV 2.0 and the pay-per-view itself? Do you agree with the Spug guy that this possibly could have been just a normal Thursday night Impact?
I wouldn't say it should have been a normal Thursday night Impact. I would have said, you know, throw a 3-hour special out there, no commercials or something. You know, give the folks a free pay-per-view. But hey, they wanted to try and draw some money out of it, and you know, wrestling, as it's been said many times, is a business. And if it drew them money, then good on them. Their handling afterwards with the whole EV 2.0 group has been pretty lackluster and very, very less than spectacular. So I think it's more along the lines of, hey, we get the big spike, we get the big money, and you guys can go to the wayside now, bye-bye.
And the other obvious was the whole lot of failed experiments, such as Orlando Jordan, such as the Nasty Boys showing up again. Oh, thank God they're gone. Jay Lethal dropping the Black Machismo. A lot of people will remember it. Everybody talks about this past week, the Foley Flair face-off. But probably you're gonna go with top promo of the year. It had to be the Ric Flair off of Jay Lethal versus Ric Flair, with wooing going on everywhere. Woo, I'm woo, and you don't woo me, and I don't woo. I'm like sitting there going, "Wow, this is some pretty cool stuff. Can we keep this going?" Instead, we kill Jay Lethal's push, then put an X Division belt on him, then take it off on him at a house show, then put it back on him again. Thoughts on Jay Lethal, guys? Either one of you?
You should have kept him wooing. That was probably the greatest promo of the year.
Do you put him in the AJ Styles robe?
Oh yeah. You put him in a robe, you walk him out there, oh yeah. Dude, that was a great promo.
I double up on that. Keep the boy wooing. You know, as you said, promo of the year, hell, put the robe on him, have him do the full imitation. If there's anybody who did it so well, it is Jay Lethal. As it was said when the promo first happened, close your eyes and you'd say that Ric Flair was wooing it himself in a mirror.
Yeah, now, the funniest part, and this isn't updated, obviously, on iworldofwrestling.com, this is what the website lists as the X Division. The heel X Division is one. It would be Douglas Williams. Obviously, that's changed because Max and Jeremy Buck are now bad guys. Motor City Machine Guns is X Division. Brian Kendrick, Jay Lethal. List Suicide, who I believe is Kiyoshi or Kazuzaka Okada. I'm messing up the gentleman's name, and I apologize. Can we get rid of this Suicide character finally? I know he's kind of like along the lines of Shark Boy, possibly working house shows every so often, but another failed experiment, the Suicide character. I mean, at one point it was Homicide, it was Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels.
No. What we need is she keeps Suicide, right? And then you bring back Homicide. And then you bring in another guy called Genocide.
Ooh.
And they form a trio.
Kind of like a Serotonin thing gone wrong a couple years ago?
Perhaps.
Which is a great send out to Johnny Devine if he's listening. We know he was a part of the Tim Steineros that was going on, and Sir Rockin wanted to throw in his two cents and going, "That trio would be death-defying." He gets his little poppy pop there. The other interesting experiment was, as mentioned, this Hogan Bischoff management. Wait, now we're working together, now we're kind of working apart. Your overall thoughts on the use of the Hogan-Bischoff regime going back to when they announced it at Madison Square Garden, Mace, is this turned out good, kind of in the middle of the road, or are you sitting there going, "God, I wish they'd never brought these two in to begin with"?
In the beginning, I was like, they shouldn't have brought them in. I've actually started enjoying the Eric Bischoff that we have in TNA, because he's reminding me very quickly of how he was back in the WCW days. But as for Hogan, you know, until he comes back as Robo Hogan, there's not really a point in keeping him around at all. So, you know,
on the phone more than he's being in the building, dude.
Yeah, exactly. You know, keep him off the phone. Let him rest up. Let them, you know, finish the bionic implants and everything else. Just let the old boy rest up, you know. Out of anybody, he's the guy that deserves it the most.
Take it, Spug. Your thoughts on Hogan Bischoff overall as characters in the product?
I thought it was a bad move. I didn't like it. I thought it was a cash grab by Dixie. And personally, I I don't see the benefit that those two bring to your company. Remember, they almost single-handedly killed WCW.
And depends who you talk to on that one, because some people say that, no, it was AOL Time Warner that did it. No, it was Russo. No, it was this. No, it was that. No, it was global warming. Al Gore did it. And all that kind of craziness. One other thing I wanted to bring up was the switching of a title, which was your global champion, legends champion, champion, becoming the TNA television champion, which is currently the phenomenal AJ Styles. Are we like on belt overload? Because let's remind the fans, you've got a TNA World Heavyweight title, which is sitting dormant. Your tag champs are the Motor City Machine Guns. Your TV champ is Styles. Jay Lethal is your X Division champion. Hamada and Taylor Wilde are your knockout champions. And then I believe it's Angelina Love that's got the knockout belt. Should we merge X and TV and get them out of the way? Or are you fine with all these belts? Or do we need more in TNA? Do we need U.S. tag belts, six-man belts, eight-man belts? The Battle Royal belt, I mean, the belt belt, the Don West belt. I mean, is it enough, or do we need to stop? Or do you want to eliminate some belts, Spug?
I think you go three belts, to be honest with you. Three. Ladies belt, tag belts, sorry, four. Ladies belt, tag belts, world belt. Get rid of the Legends Championship. Do they even still have that?
It's the TV title now. AJ Styles has got it. He rechristened it the television title, saying that he was the best wrestler on TV and he was going to defend it every week or try to defend it every week.
Yeah, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You don't need it.
By the way, the Don West belt available now at shoptna.com.
ColtCabana.com.
Oh, yeah. Hey. We'll podcast it on another night. Or we can podcast Mace's answer on another night if he wants.
I'm supposed to do stand-up comedy tomorrow. Can we do it then?
I don't know. Does it interfere with Utaku Talk, which is on this network, which we'll talk about in a couple minutes? Too many belts, not enough belts, or just the right amount of belts, Mace?
Definitely too many belts. Get rid of the knockouts tag titles. They're a waste of time when your division is about a quarter of the size of the main divisions. Get rid of the legend / global / TV belt. That thing was gaudy as all hell to begin with. Let's get rid of that. Pretty much just going the same way Spug did. World belt, X belt, tag titles, women's belt. That's it. That's all you need for a company of that size.
And lastly, before we go into our wrap-up mode, the other thing to address is the on-camera emergence of the president of this company. And that would be Dixie Carter getting heavily involved in certain storylines, bringing in the EV 2.0 guys, her husband Serge getting involved, jumping in the ring, being in promos with Ric Flair. And I'm not doing this because she's a woman, because I would be asking the same question if it was Dave Carter or Serge Salinas. Do we need the TNA president being involved as much as she is? Or is it enough? Or you want more Dixie Carter to Mace?
No way in hell. The second this girl got her own entrance music and everything, I thought, oh crap, here we go. She's going to become a recurring character on the show. I did not want to see this happen at all. I don't mind Dixie Carter doing her overhyping stuff on Twitter and the fact that every now and again she pops up in, you know, press releases or whatever. That's fine. Even the occasional mention on TV is not, you know, that's fine. So now she's coming out saying, I'm overruling Eric, or I don't want to go against you, Hulk, but I want to do this. No, she should have been left sitting in the crowd, just watching the show and signing the checks. You have characters like Eric Bischoff out there who do a much better job of the authority role. that are a lot more believable than she is.
To the Spug guy.
I agree with Mace. He said everything that there is to say about that. There's no reason that she should be out there. She's not Vince. She's not...
Is that the only reason she is out there? Because creatively they're going, hey, you know, Vince is uninvolved, and you got an anonymous GM on each, you got GMs on each show, and let her do her thing, and it's good creative, or is it just, why bother, go in the back, every so often come out, shake some baby's hands, wave some stuff.
Exactly. That's it right there. Go in the back.
And we would be saying the same thing if it were Dave Carter or someone.
Yes, because you don't need... Look, Vince worked so well as a visible individual and head of the company because, for the longest time, he was their main announcer. He was their main commentator. It's what he did, you know? And Dixie... I don't think she has the presence that Vince did. She doesn't get it.
So the idea of, hey, I came from country music, I can run a wrestling company, probably not going so well. Don't forget this Thursday live before the glory, I believe is what they're calling it, 9 p.m., definitely on this Sunday. If you're in Daytona, I believe for Bound for Glory weekend, there's a fan fest that you can find out about from TNAWrestling.com. I believe you get access to seats.
Alan, I know you're plugging the fan access thing, but can I just bring this up quickly? This is something that's been playing on my head. WWE doing their fan access or their fan appreciation thing. You know, it's all well and good that the companies want to turn around and say, hey, we acknowledge the fans with these big events and everything. But seriously, should we have to pay the extra money to do this? You know, down here, our main football teams, you know, the AFL teams, do a supporters day at the end of the season each year. And that's a free thing, you know, it's free to get in. You buy your cheap merchandise, you know, your end of year sale stuff for the merchandise. You get to meet the players and everything. You get to compete in competitions. Basically the same thing as WWE and TNA do on these type of weekends. The only difference is that the sports guys turn around and say, we're going to give it back to the fans for free, whereas TNA and WWE go, pay us money and we'll show you we like you. I'm sorry, that's something that just pisses me off. You know, if you're going to say thank you to the fans, hold a small event or something and make it free for the fans to come in. I do apologize for writing you, Alan, but I just wanted to get that out there.
No, I don't blame you at all. And I'm someone who's attended. I attended the one they did for Victory Road in 2004, and that was done in just, I believe it was a cafe or restaurant in the Doubletree. And then they did one for Bound for Glory 2005, which, God, I was so sick that weekend. Missed out on Death from Above 1979 and Nine Inch Nails instead. I ended up stuck in Orlando. Then, of course, you had the one for Slammiversary 2007 in Nashville, which was pretty cool. But okay, I guess if Spug wants to chime in there, you've been in the business. You're a fan of the business. Voice an opinion on what Mace just brought up, this whole idea of, I understand it's another revenue stream, but how much money is too much money? Especially in an economy that sucks horribly right now.
Oh, no, I agree with him. I think that when you get into, like, we're going to WrestleMania this year, and I've got a grant socked away for Mania. Okay? That's not including tickets. And I know it's sold out already. I think.
I don't know if tickets have gone on sale yet or not.
I think the travel packages may have gone on sale already.
The travel packages went on sale, but I don't think actual tickets have gone on sale.
And they'll be gone inside of 2 seconds anyway, as always.
Right, but we haven't bought our tickets yet. But I've got $1,000 socked away to go to Mania this year. You know, it's my big birthday present. You know, I've been looking forward to it forever to go to WrestleMania. And we want to go to the Fan Access thing before it, but we also want to go to the Hall of Fame. I have to pick one or the other. I can't afford both.
No, which they'll charge you for the fan and the fan thing, if I believe, for WrestleMania weekend, correct me if I'm wrong.
It's expensive.
Right, and it's also spread out over an entire week. Because I can remember being in New York for WrestleMania 10, and it being in, I believe, what used to be the Felt Forum, the Paramount Theater, and that upstairs level. Because I can remember going with my mother to a New York Ranger game the Friday before, and my mom coming out of a subway station, and she's walking by one of the entrances, and out runs Bret the Hitman Hart in full gimmick, jacket and everything, jumps to a cab to a hotel, and it was like, that's right, WrestleMania weekend, cool, and seeing Lex Luger at the Puck and everything. I mean, I know it's caused some inflation, I may be wrong, and Rock may be able to chime in if he does, but I don't believe the fee for like an NFL Super Bowl weekend for the fan access thing that they do there is comparable to what WWE charges. And I know for certain WWE events, if you're in like the first few rows, you get a chair to go home. I don't know if that's changed, but the couple WWE pay-per-views I have attended, that was the case. If you were in like the first 5 or 6 rows, you got a chair to go home with. And now you got, as you said, for the WrestleMania weekend, you've got a Hall of Fame thing, you got a Fan Fest thing, you got a video game thing, I'm sure. I'm sure by then they'll have Raw, SmackDown. What number are they up to? Are they up to 2011 already? Is that what's going
2011.
On? 2011. It is 2011, which will probably have the Nexus involved.
No, there's supposedly downloadable content later on next year.
Oh, of course.
But hey, I can't remember. There's some little unknown guy. It used to be Lance Hoyt. Whatever name he's using now.
Vance Archer.
He's the one. He gets on the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's another one. Where'd he go? And I like Lance as a person. And he's another one that's kind of just floating around there. Speaking of floating around, we floated around a lot tonight. And these guys get to take over the airwaves tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on Talk of Talk Live with the end all be all, the Omega. Any hints as to what's possibly going on tomorrow night, gentlemen?
Midgets. Me talking about my Wang. Lots of stuff.
Interesting. Now, Thursday night, do we have an Anything Goes, Sir Rockin? No, there is no Anything Goes, but I believe you can go to CindySin.com and vote, help her pick a Halloween costume. Did I read that right somewhere? And I'm sure there's some very lovely options, some G-rated, some triple X-rated. You'll have to go to CindySin.com and check that out. That's CindySynn.com. And do we have a DJ this Friday night? I know he's not talking on a headphone, but he types pretty damn fast. We don't know if there's a DJ or not. Am I allowed to mention the show that's supposed to be on Friday night? And he's typing really fast again. I can mention Running the Ropes? Cool. I can also mention this. They're Running the Ropes. Nav and Nick, I believe it is. They're on 6 o'clock. I'm going to mention it. Don't worry. I'm getting there. Saturday night. The legend that is CB Radio with the Godfather Rob Hart. The Subway guys, Bug, Mace, anybody. Hey, for all we know, Barack Obama may show up. The Halloween show is going to be on. You're not even into the middle of October yet, and you're doing Halloween on CB Radio. Good Lord. Yeah, you've also got this Sunday night, myself, the Spug guy, the Mace guy, the Omega guy. Oh, I'll mention that in a second. Then you've got possibly Will. You'll have the return to Tim Stein. 11 o'clock Eastern, doo-doo, Bound for Glory 2010. We'll recap everything on Wrestle Talk Radio. And there's a top 20 countdown show on this Saturday. I believe it involves some country music. Can you give me the full official title? Because I heard it before. I know it's at 9 o'clock. It's a TD Top 20 Country Countdown. Yeah, we're getting real diverse here on the network. And as mentioned, supposed to be before us on this network. It's hosted by the Trey Dog. All right, cool name. 8 o'clock, we do believe this Tuesday will be Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny, and that is Johnny Kazmier and Matt Walsh. For fans that don't know it, Matt Walsh is a personal trainer in the Philadelphia area. Johnny Kazmier, former part of the Backseat Boys, now has a tag team in wrestling with Matt called Vanilla Man Candy. Johnny is a licensed massage therapist, yoga instructor, and has his own lecture series, which you can find through his Facebook page, which is Johnny Kazmier, and you can also find them, Mind and Body, Matt and Johnny, on wildtalkradio.com. I believe they were supposed to have Stevie Richards, who has a fitness column on TNAWrestling.com. He will be on next week's show, so tune in before us at 8 o'clock. And it looks like this Thursday night at 8 o'clock, my butt's talking hockey. That's right. The former Fire on Ice is now going to be known as the Hockey Show. It's going to be on 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and just in time for your 2010-11 season. Myself and the supreme overlord of hockey talk and everything else, Tim Stein, will be there. And I have 48 hours to memorize 30 teams in the NHL.
Go Pens, baby. Go Pens. No,
anything's possible. And thanks for not watching NXT Online. And if you did, we'll give you a dollar. You can go buy your sanity back from WWE.com. Thanks to Jim Barcelone, Miami Herald. MiamiHerald.com is the way you can find out about him. He also has a Facebook page. You can follow him there. I'm not sure if he's a twit, a tweet, a twang, whatever the heck it's called. WTR has their own events scheduled. You can be found on wildtalkradio.com. They also have a Twitter thing. I think it's twitter.com/wildtalkradio WTR. There is a twitter.com/OWWCOM, which is provided to you by the folks at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Thanks to my bosses, Jason Deadrich, Brad Dykens. Thanks to the Spug Guy, the Mace. Facebook also has a site for us at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com-OWWRadio, where you also can like a truckload of Online World of Wrestling stuff. Every day I turn around, Brad and Jason got something else there. Wild Talk Radio has a Facebook. You can go to clickwrestle.com and get archives of this wonderful program and others. Thanks for Gordon Sumner and friends for being our musical guest this week. And we're going to take it out with one of my favorites off the Brand New Day album. It's a song called A Thousand Years. Thank you for listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio. I actually finished before midnight. Woo! We'll see you next week.